Let us pray. May the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these your people. Amen. During the winter of 1940, Josephine Kuhn's husband, a house painter and textile worker, was temporarily unemployed because of the weather and a seasonal layoff. It was a difficult time for the family. They literally had no money. Their 18-month-old daughter, Rachel, was recovering from pneumonia and wasn't doing well. The doctor insisted Rachel eat a boiled egg each day, but even that was beyond the family's means. "Why not pray for an egg?" suggested a young friend. They were a church-going family, but the idea of actually praying for their needs was something they had never really considered. Josephine wasted no time. On her knees, she prayed that God would provide an egg each morning for her daughter. Later that morning, Josephine heard some cackling coming from the hedge fence in front of their home. There among the bare branches sat a red hen. She had never seen this hen before and had no idea where it came from. She just watched in amazement as the hen laid an egg and then proceeded down the road. In a moment, the hen was gone, but the egg sat there in her yard. What do you do under such circumstances? But thank God. The next day, Josephine was startled once again to hear cackling in the hedge. And there was the red hen, which continued to come by every day for over a week and repeated the same routine. Each day, little Rachel had a fresh boiled egg. The little girl got better, the weather improved, and Josephine's husband went back to work. "The next morning, I waited by the window and watched," Josephine said, but the little hen did not return ever again. Just prior to our scripture lesson this morning, Jesus had just received some tragic news. His cousin, John the Baptist, had been put to death. There was a closeness between Jesus and John. Jesus spent time with John in the desert before he began his ministry. And of course, John baptized Jesus. Now, John was dead. The Gospel of Matthew informs us that Jesus withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. In times of crisis, we all need solitude and prayer. That's true, isn't it? Solitude is hard to find in our busy, hectic lives. We are forever on the go. Jesus needed time alone. So he withdrew from the crowds. He sailed down the Jordan in search of a place where no one would bother him. He was setting an example for us. If having time away from crowds was important for Jesus, just think how important that must be for us as well. 5 days a week for 8 weeks, former baseball player Dave Dravecki drove 90 minutes each way for cancer treatment in Cleveland. At first, the trip seemed long and unbearable. Then Dave began to notice the beauty of lush summer foliage on both sides of the highway. This peaceful drive eventually wound through Shaker Heights District, an older area with stately mansions. The daily trips were still monotonous, however. Dave could almost make the drive in his sleep, he recalls. Yet those long drives became an opportunity for Dravecki to grow in his faith. He'd think and pray and listen to tapes of his favorite Bible teachers. Sometimes he would listen to a tape of worship music and sing along with it. His voice isn't exactly the sound of music, Dave said, but the hills did seem to come alive. It was good, quality time, when he would not be interrupted by the telephone or anything or anyone else. Those 8 weeks driving to and from the Cleveland Clinic saved Dave's life, his spiritual life, that is. He needed that time alone. He says, with the Lord, he needed it desperately, maybe even more than the radiation itself. What was true for Dave Dravecki was also true of Jesus. He was strengthened by his time alone. He was strengthened by his time with prayer. What was true of Jesus is also true of us. We too need time of solitude and time of prayer. When Jesus returned from his time alone, he noticed a large crowd was there waiting for him. The scripture says he saw a great crowd and he had compassion for them and he cured their sick. That's the second thing we need to notice about this passage this morning. is not only did Jesus find time alone for prayer and solitude, but Jesus cares about our needs. Jesus took time to heal the sick. He could have sent the crowds away. He could have said, "Don't bother me. Can't you see I'm grieving?" He could have ignored them and gone on his way. But Jesus didn't. He stopped and he healed them. There was a need, and Jesus responded in the only way he knew how, out of love. What a contrast there is between Jesus and the disciples. Jesus was full of compassion. The disciples were more concerned about convenience. It was getting late. The people would be getting hungry. This presented a big problem. The disciples approached Jesus with their concern. "This is a deserted place," they said, "and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they might go to the village and buy food for themselves." The disciples were being very practical. They did not know what to do with such a large crowd. They knew that they didn't have the means to feed them. So the only reasonable solution was surely to send them away so they could feed themselves. But Jesus had other ideas. It was one of those moments to trust that God would provide. There was no need for the disciples to worry. Everything was under control. I read about a near tragedy that befell a 74-year-old grandfather. He was returning from out of town one cold Saturday evening when his car broke down on an isolated stretch of road. As he got out of the car to check the engine, he fell badly and twisted his leg. When he tried to move, the pain was excruciating. He nearly passed out. He lay there helplessly on the road. The chance that someone might come along before morning was remote. Also, because of his precarious position, a passing motorist might run over him without realizing that someone was there in the road. As the frosty asphalt sapped his body of warmth, the old man decided that this was a very undignified way to die. He began to pray. Sometime later, a young man driving a car spotted the elderly man and expertly attended to him. The grandfather was, by then, nearly dead from exposure. The man took him to a local hospital, and after making sure he was going to be all right, the man disappeared. The only thing that the family was able to find out about this Good Samaritan was that he may have been a college student. An emergency room nurse said that the young man was wearing a jacket with "Providence" lettered on the back. No one has ever been able to convince the grandfather, though, that this particular fellow was merely connected with a university in Rhode Island. We know that God's providence does not always come that directly. Still, we do know that God cares. And in times of stress, we seek solitude. We seek out a caring God. Finally, we trust that God not only cares, but that God is able to provide for all of our needs. Have you ever noticed that the disciples are not always portrayed in a positive light in the scriptures? There are times when it's obvious that they're not on the same page with Jesus. They're not on the same wavelength for sure. This, my friends, is one of those times. But Jesus told them, "Give the crowd something to eat." "Say what?" the disciples asked. Maybe they didn't hear him right. 5,000 people and only 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish? Something doesn't compute. The disciples looked at each other in disbelief. Impossible. Only the best caterers with tons of food and plenty of notice could have fed a fat crowd of that size. The disciples knew that that little bit of food would never be enough. But they were wrong. Little is always much when Jesus is involved. Jesus took that little bit of food that they brought to him, looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave it to the disciples. In turn, the disciples gave the food to the crowd. And you, my friends, know the rest of the story. Everyone had enough to eat, so much so that there were 12 baskets of food left over. There are many places people are putting their faith nowadays, in their bank accounts, in taking care of their bodies, in education, and those are all good things. The question is, are those things enough? Years ago, I read about a hospital in a Midwestern city where officials discovered that the firefighting equipment had never been connected. For 35 years, it had been relied upon for the safety of the patients in case of emergency. but it had never been attached to the city's main water. The pipe that led the building extended 4 feet underground, and there it stopped. The medical staff and the patients had felt incomplete confidence in that system. They thought that if a blaze broke out, they could depend on a nearby hose to extinguish it. But theirs was a false security. Although the costly equipment with its polished valves and well-placed outlets was adequate for the building, it lacked the most important thing, water. The things you're putting your faith in, are you sure they can provide an answer for those moments of deepest need? The bank account, your healthy body, the good education are all valuable, but are they enough? God is able to supply all of our needs. Can't you imagine the expression of disbelief that must have been on the disciples' faces? They thought they didn't have enough, but Jesus proved they had plenty. I can see them punching each other in the arm afterward and saying, "Can you believe what just happened? It was awesome." The feeding of 5,000 is the only miracle that's recorded in all four of the Gospels. The people present that day would remember those events for the rest of their lives. And no wonder, really. On that hillside long ago, Jesus gave his followers a foretaste of the heavenly banquet that is yet to come. A banquet prepared for the foundations of the earth for those who believe in Jesus. On a hillside long ago, people ate bread and fish together, and they marveled at the love and the power of a simple teacher from Galilee. We don't know if they sang or shouted, but we do know this. It was a day they will never forget. They had come away to be with Jesus, and he cared for them, and he met their needs. And there, they experienced a foretaste of what will come, the heavenly banquet when we will feast with Jesus. Amen.